The Women's National Basketball Association concluded its third season earlier this month. Each of those three seasons, Cynthia Cooper led her team, the Houston Comets, to the championship and was voted the league's most valuable player. Cooper was the first WNBA player to score 1,000 points. She's now 36. Before the WNBA was formed, she played professional basketball in Europe. She played on the U.S. Olympics basketball team in 1988 and 92, winning gold and bronze medals. She'll be back in the Olympics next year. Cooper has a new autobiography called She Got Game. She grew up poor in South Central Los Angeles. I know this was a difficult year for you. You lost your mother from breast cancer, and your good friend Kim Parrott on your team died of brain cancer. Yet you managed to win the MVP for the third year. How did you remain so focused, given all the problems in your life?
Well, my mom always taught me to persevere through the tough times, and I know that Kim and my mom would have wanted me to come out and play hard and play well and help my team win the championship, and that was our goal right from the beginning. You know, my mom got a chance to watch us win two championships while she was alive, and watch her daughter and see her daughter win two MVP awards. So that was a blessing in itself. And I know how motivated and how strong Kim was and how hard she fought against the cancer. And she wanted us to fight even harder during the WNBA season to pull out a championship. You know, it was tough. It was very, very, very tough. Some of the toughest days that I've had to go through in my life. But I know they would have wanted me to persevere.
Before the WNBA, you couldn't play professionally in the United States because there wasn't a professional league. So you played in Europe. And it's so odd to me that, you know, since America is so basketball crazy, to think that the Europeans had professional women's basketball before America did makes no sense at all.
Well, that's true. Right after college, the only option we had was to go overseas and play. I just believe that the American public wasn't ready for women's professional basketball. And you know, we still view women as, if it wasn't an individual sport like tennis or golf or track, you know, it was more, you know, team sports, you tomboys, and they didn't really understand how we could be maintain our femininity off the court but be fierce competitors on the court. And that took a little while for the American public to accept. But now, I mean, they've accepted it, and they come out in big numbers to support the WNBA.
Were the teams pretty international in makeup?
Well, you're allowed. We played in Italy. I played in Italy. And you're allowed two foreign players per team, and then the rest are Italian.
Mm-hmm. So what was it like being one of two who weren't Italian on the team?
Well, it was a little lonely at times. It was a little lonely at times. But other times, since I got a chance to learn the language and really learn the culture, live as an Italian in Italy as opposed to trying to live as an American in Italy, it was actually a positive experience for me.
Now, the American Basketball League was starting at about the same time as the Women's National Basketball Association was starting. How did you choose between the two?
Well, it was easy for me. The ABL didn't want me, and the WNBA did, so
I guess that'll do
that
it.
That was pretty simple.
Boy, they made a big mistake, huh?
Well, I think they underestimated the talent of the players overseas, and they really didn't give them a fair chance to come into the ABL, be a part of their league. And the WNBA, they sent scouts over to the to Italy or the different countries to see the talent level of the players over there, and then they were able to make a better decision.
What did the skeptics say when the Women's National Basketball Association started up?
Well, I don't think anyone really believed that it could be successful. I don't think that anyone believed that we would provide an exciting enough style of basketball to win over fans, but they were dead wrong, and I think it started out with the team out in Atlanta, the gold medal winning women's basketball team in Atlanta. You know, it's the excitement around women's basketball started then, but then when we started the WNBA. It was just great to see the fans come out and support us. But eventually we had to get out on the court and show what we could do. And we got out there, and I think we played great basketball, very, very exciting basketball, and that's why the fans stuck with us.
What's the relationship of the NBA and the WNBA?
Well, the NBA, professionally or organizational-wise, they have really been kind of our big brothers and showed us the ins and outs of the game and showed us how to market the WNBA. The men, the players of the NBA, they've really come out in big numbers and supported us no matter where we go to play, no matter what city we're in. They watch us on television and they really follow they follow our success. And they also bring their daughters and their families out to watch the games. It's great to see them come out and support us the way they have.
How does the style of play and the rules compare between women's and men's basketball now?
Well, the rules are a little different. We can still play zone in the WNBA, whereas in the NBA, they're mandatory man. The men play 48 minutes. We only play 40 minutes. The ball, we have a smaller ball than the men have. And then other than that, it's pretty much the same.
What about the style of play? How would you say that compares?
Well, the men play more of they rely more on their talent and athleticism, whereas we, the women, we concentrate more on fundamentals and we play more team ball and a lot more team defense, and we really stress defense a lot more than I think the NBA does.
I'm wondering how the size of women players compare to men. I mean, the men in the NBA now, for the most part, are so, like, super tall. Do you think that most of the women in basketball now are as comparatively tall as the men are?
No, we're not as tall as the men. You have one player in the WNBA at 7'2", and then you have a couple 6'4", 6'5", players. But, we're not as tall and as physical as the men.
That must change the nature of the game, too, you know, not being as tall.
Well, no, it changes it in a sense that we don't dunk and we don't, you know, do those type of athletic moves. But, I mean, anybody who's been a part of a WNBA game realizes and understands how we play, what we do, and why our game is so very, very exciting.
So are most of the fans men, women, both?
Most of the fans are women and children. And then you have a lot of men who bring their daughters to the game. But lately, I mean, we've had just anybody and everyone has been a fan. Like, I'll walk down the street and men say, "Oh, girl, you got game." You know, it really proves that they really follow us.
You know, for boys who love basketball, their dream is to play in the NBA. When you were a girl, what was your dream? I mean, there was no women's professional team to play on.
Growing up in Watts, I think my dream was to be successful at whatever I wanted to do. Whatever I ended up doing, I wanted to be the best at it.
Well, and in basketball, though, where did you think that would get you before there was a league to play in?
Well, I didn't start playing basketball until I was 16 years old. My major goal was for me to use sports in order to get my education. So I played softball, I ran track, and once I started playing basketball, I felt like that was going to help me or be a stepping stone for me to further my education and get to where I wanted to be in life.
Well, it did further your education. You got a scholarship to the University of Southern California. And I think you felt like a fish out of water at the beginning there.
I really did. I mean, I was a fish out of water. I was surrounded by rich people, white people that I had never seen in my life. Growing up in Watts, you're kind of surrounded by your environment, and that's it. And the only Caucasians that I saw was on television and or the teachers at my school. And so it was somewhat of a culture shock to be kind of thrown into an environment where you were expected to excel and it be so different than anything that you were used to.
Well, you did well in basketball, but because of academic problems, there was a period when you couldn't play on the team. Was there like an academic average you had to meet in order to stay on the team?
Yes, there is an academic average that you have to meet. And I just had a lot of problems adjusting initially, but I persevered even through those problems, and I hung tough. And with the help of my coaches and friends, I was able to get through that also.
In retrospect, what do you think of that kind of rule? Do you think that your status on the team should be affected by your academic average?
Absolutely. I think academics should always come first, and basketball or whatever sport that you play should come after that. You get a scholarship so that you can go to school and complete your education, not necessarily that you can move on to the next level with whatever professional sport you would like to be in.
Cynthia Cooper, her new autobiography is called She Got Game. This is Fresh Air.